like to read a couple of those verses from Philippians again. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word. And now would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all hearts be acceptable in your sight, Almighty God, our rock and our Redeemer. All glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. Well, today is World Communion Sunday. It is a day that Christians all over the world join together at tables of all kinds, of all sizes, of all shapes, to share in the meal that has been given to the church by Christ himself. Now, some call it the Eucharist. Some call it the Lord's Supper. Some call it communion. But whatever it is called, when God's people gather together as one, when God's people take time to pray together in all parts of the world, when God's people are called back to the reality that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord of all, holy things happen. It's a holy act just to stop and think about all those Christians all over the world right now. Christians in every country on the planet today taking communion together, sharing in the body and the blood of Christ. It is a holy act to stop and think and consider the power of the prayers that are being shared and offered and said in the name of Jesus Christ right now. It is a holy act just to stop and think about the expanse of this planet and how so many Christians started gathering already this morning while we were still sleeping, getting ready for this holy meal and to share and break bread together. It's a holy act just to stop and think about the fact that so many Christians are united together today for a moment to stop and think of what it means to walk in this kingdom, to bring the kingdom of God into reality and to walk the path that God has placed before us the best way we can, doing the best that we can to bring reconciliation between us and God and between us and others. It's a holy, holy day for me. I love this day. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the Ten Commandments, but I am going to say this about that. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses to help people understand that God is the center of all life. Now, I don't think that most of you can stand and recite all ten. I bet you know about three or four. Probably the ones that you never do that are really the bad ones, right? But most of us know a few of the Ten Commandments, and yet they were given to Moses to remind us of what it means to have God at the center of all life. They were also given to us to help people learn to live together, united and respectful of each other. The Ten Commandments bring order to life, and they remind us of the order of God's creation. They help us prioritize our relationships, our relationship with God and our relationships with other people. In short, the Ten Commandments show us how to live our lives gathered together as one people. That takes us now to Paul in his letter to the Philippians. In this letter to the Philippians, we find Paul in jail. You might say, again. Or you might say, as usual. Paul spent a lot of time in jail, if you know much about Paul. But yet this letter that he writes to the church at Philippi is encased in joy. It is the most joy-filled letter. And Paul, from his prison cell, writes to encourage the church at Philippi, even as he sits awaiting trial by the Roman government. He writes to encourage them to remain united in love and to continue the work of God, even in the face of difficulty and hardship. He also writes to thank them. It's a thank you letter as well. To thank them for supporting him while he's in prison. If you know much about the prisons of that day, you know that the only food you got came from family and people who brought it to you. There wasn't like a prison cafeteria. And so he was thanking them for their support while he was there in jail. And I know you've heard me say this, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it. If you've never read the letter to the Philippians in its entirety, I recommend it to you. Even if you can't read the whole book, it's just 4 chapters. But even if you can't read the whole book, read the 4th chapter. If you don't read anything else, read the 4th chapter of Philippians. I commend it to you. But today we're going to look at the 3rd chapter. So very quickly, this portion of Paul's letter talks about his religious pedigree. He tells them that he was a Pharisee. He was born into the tribe of Benjamin. He was a scholar who kept every single law meticulously. And he even persecuted Christians in order to protect the Jewish law and Jewish traditions and Jewish way of life. But then in verse 8, Paul says this: I consider all of that a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but having a righteousness which is brought by faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is faith. Did you hear that? Paul looks at all of that previous success of his, but when he compares it to the life he lives in Christ, all that success, he calls it rubbish. Some translations call it garbage. He throws all of that success away in favor of a life lived in Christ. And then he goes on. In verse 12, he says this: I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do: forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is walking on a new path without looking back to find his identity. Instead, he sees his identity on the road with Jesus Christ in a new direction, going a new place, going with Christ, the Savior of all. He has no regrets. Difficulty, hardship for sure, but no regrets for following this path with Christ. Because you see, Paul teaches us over and over and over again that the love of Christ is far stronger than the power of any evil or difficulty or suffering that he might have had. Now, I want to tell y'all this next thing. Every week, many times a week, I pray over and over and over again for God to send me the right words for Sunday's sermon every week. But sometimes, especially the busy weeks, I look over at that file cabinet of mine and I say, I got files and files of sermons over there. You know, I could just skip a week and just grab one of these out. They'd never know. And sometimes I even say, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it this week. But I've never done it. I can't do it. I know that God continues to work in our lives anew every single day. And so this week, as I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for the right words, I finally heard God say, take your time and stop worrying about those words. I heard God say that the table can speak for itself, that the table within itself is power, that the table in itself is what invites us into a relationship with Jesus, and that when people come to the table and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, when they come to the table and pray together, holy and powerful things can happen. And so today, when we approach this table, we're going to linger. We're going to do it like we used to do. We're going to line up on our knees across this chancel. Now, I didn't tell the ushers, they're probably back there like having heart attacks right now. But I think that the people of God can figure out how to come and kneel at a chancel rail. And if you bump into each other, it's okay. But as you come forward, there are going to be some prayer slips here in these baskets, and I encourage each one of you to take a slip and pray for whatever name or situation is on that prayer slip. Sometimes it's hard to know what to pray for. This will help. But before we serve communion on this communion, World Communion Day, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you about some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. This is a direct quote from an article I read in The Telegraph, which is an online newspaper. This is what it says. Christians in the Nineveh region of northern Iraq are unable to celebrate communion for the first time in 2 millennia. After Islamic State militants captured the area and took over the churches. Canon Andrew White, vicar of the only Anglican church in Iraq, told the Telegraph that ISIL have set up offices in the churches and have replaced crosses with the militant group's black flag. He says, last week there was no communion in Nineveh for the first time in 2,000 years. He continued, all the churches are closed. All their people have run away. It is so sad, he said. Well, now an estimated 200,000 Christians have been forced to flee their homes once again after ISIL swept through their villages this summer, demanding that they convert to Islam, pay taxes for being Christians, or face death. That's the end of that quote. Not only that, in many places on the globe today, on World Communion Sunday, there are Christians taking communion, but they're doing it in secret because they are constantly and actively persecuted for their faith. And yet, they continue to share the message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all people. And they do this in places where being a Christian is a crime. Today is World Communion Sunday. We're going to be sharing in this sacramental meal here at this table with Christians around the world in South Africa and Mexico and Pakistan and any place you can name on the globe. There will be people taking communion with us. I'm going to be consecrating more than enough bread for us today. We did this last year. It's okay to do something twice in a row, isn't it? If you're an Aggie, once in a row is enough. But today I'm going to consecrate this bread. That bread's already been consecrated. And as you come forward and you take your prayer slip and you come and you kneel at the chancel rail and pray, on your way back, there'll be baskets on each table for you to take a roll that has been baked by three of our saints here in this congregation. And you can take that roll with you to the grocery store, to the gas station, to the restaurant where you might go out to eat lunch today. You might take it to a family reunion. You might take it to your neighbor who really is completely able-bodied and can come to church every single Sunday. They just choose not to. You can take it to shut-ins. You can take it if you have to drive all the way to Fredericksburg today. You can take it with you in your car and give it to someone at HEB there or at a gas station there. You can take it to the sheriff's department. You can take it to people who work on Sunday. There are so many ways that you can share this body of Christ. We're just asking to take a tiny risk. There's a little piece of paper in there, and it says, "Hi, I'm from the United Methodist Church," and this is a paraphrase, "and today at church it's World Communion Sunday, and this bread has already been consecrated, and it's the body of Christ, and I offer it to you in the name of Jesus Christ." If they resist you, it's not you they're resisting. Please hear that. It is God they're rejecting, and God can take it. God can take the rejection. We've seen that time and time and time again. The only limitations will be the ones that are imposed by the church because of fear or shame or sharing the faith. Those are our only limitations, our own fear and our own difficulty in opening up to strangers. Gathered together as one here today, looking forward, not behind, walking the path of Christ and not that path of personal success, living as those who have chosen to walk with Christ, all of these things mark us as children of God. We have been given the great joy and opportunity to share the word of Jesus Christ, so don't be afraid. Look up, live in joy. Trust in Christ and take this table into the world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I invite you all to stand as you are able and turn in your hymnals to page 15. This will work, I know it will. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You may be seated. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the end of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and he said to them, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and he said to them, "This is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here out of love for you, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory and honor is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen.